Well, a pleasure to bring in Hank Greenwald. And Hank, of course, once you hear the voice, you know him. And one of the wonderful figures, iconic broadcaster of Bay Area sports. Hank, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm wide awake and ready to talk.
All right. Very good. Thanks for coming on. You know, when you and I talked the other day a little bit about Bill King, it made me realize the book, first of all, I love it, Holy Toledo, by Ken Korak, Lessons from Bill King, the Renaissance Man of the Mic. It made me think of how your paths have crossed over the years and how Bill King influenced you not only as a broadcaster but in your life.
Well, he did, and I think there are a lot of people who can say the very same thing. I may go back with Bill a little longer than many others, but he certainly had an influence on me. He broadened my outlook on things. He took me into areas of life that I had never really thought about. He got me particularly interested in the South Pacific and that part of the world, which then became a part of my life because of the time that I spent out there. And also in terms of how basketball could be broadcast in ways that I had never even thought about. So he was an American original, and his impact on many broadcasters went far beyond what he did himself.
Why does Bill King get lost in the shuffle on the national level? Because even he was local, but he was so unique local with major sports teams. How does he get lost?
Well, I think if you work in one area, that's where you're known. I mean, you know, years ago it used to be like with baseball. When I was a kid, when the World Series came, and if your team was in the World Series, that you were one of the announcers on radio along with the other team's announcer, and you'd split the innings, and people would get to hear you, and you would become a little more nationally known in that respect. But I don't think it mattered to Bill. I mean, all Bill cared about was doing the best job he could possibly do. I think that's what we all care about, and whether you're known nationally or not is not a big factor in your life, I don't think.
Yeah, I was thinking of Chick Hearn or maybe Johnny Most, and those are names that people know, but they were L.A. or Minnesota or Boston, and Bill was here, and the calls are just so dramatic that I just wonder why it wasn't picked up around the country. That was my thought.
Yeah, I think that, let's say, had the baseball network been in vogue a little more than back then than it is now, where announcers do get a chance to be heard by people who have that particular channel on their TVs, he might have got a little more national recognition. But my goodness, what mattered most to him and to me, and I think to a lot of people who work in certain areas, is how well you're accepted in the area you work. That's the most you can try to be and hope for, I think.
Hank Greenwald is with us. Hank, how did you like the book in reading about it? You're in there quite a bit. Of course, you and Bill were dear friends and you worked together. What did you think of the book?
Oh, I thought it was terrific because it just, you know, it corny as it sounds, it made me feel like Bill was here again. And that's what I love the most. I mean, I'd read these chapters, and I'd feel like I was reliving my time with Bill King. And, boy, what a treat that is.
How did you meet Bill? Because Bill, of course, he told me the story. I said, Bill, how did you get here? And he says, well, I took a bus from the Midwest. So I had to ask that question differently. But how did you meet Bill?
Well, I met Bill when I was working in Syracuse, New York, and we had a pro basketball team in the NBA, the Syracuse Nationals, which ultimately moved to Philadelphia, became the 76ers. But during their final years while they were there, I had the opportunity to do some basketball games for the Nats and to travel with them, and it was because of that that I got to meet Bill King when we came out to San Francisco. And ultimately, I just picked up and came out here after the Nats moved to Philadelphia. I thought it was time for me to find out, you know, just where I could go in this business. And I was kind of captivated at that time by San Francisco. And Bill said, come on out and work. We're just getting the Warriors off the ground out here, and maybe we can work together. And through Franklin Muley, that became a reality. And I did get to worked with Bill on radio for quite a few years.
You know, it's funny. When I think of Bill, I say to myself, well, what was his best sport as a broadcaster? What grabbed me the most? And I'll tell you honestly, I'm not sure I can separate them.
Well, Bill had a penchant for doing everything well. There's no question about that. You know, I think that the best way I can describe Bill is that he was greater than the games that he did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great description. That's a great description. I always told Bill, you don't have to be in the Hall of Fame. You're in the Hall of Fame. You don't need the recognition. But now he does need the recognition. He's gone, and he should live on. And I think he should be in a baseball Hall of Fame and certainly basketball or football. I think this is a very important book and an important way to get him back before the public.
Well, I hope that its distribution is wide enough that, you know, that people will come to that conclusion. It certainly is criminal that he's not in the basketball Hall of Fame for broadcasting or the football Hall of Fame for broadcasting. You know, when you come to baseball, for example, there are so many guys. I mean, I can name you a lot of guys who are not in the baseball Hall of Fame. I think of guys like Eric Nadell in Texas or Pat Hughes with the Cubs, or Joe Castiglione in Boston, or guys like Skip Carey or Pete Van Wieren all those years in Atlanta, or even a guy who you might possibly remember, Jim Woods.
Of course, the Possum.
Thought who was an excellent announcer, never got any recognition. But when it comes to basketball or football, I can't think of anybody who deserves it more than Bill King. There was nobody. Yeah, he had no peers in that regard with football and basketball. Baseball's a little bit different because there's so many guys and who have been around for so many years. And you and I both know at this point that they can lay out criteria for the Ford Frick Award, but the major criteria really has become a long service award. You know, how many years did the guy do, and this kind of thing. And there are so many guys in their markets who are beloved, just as Bill was here, or, you know, Lon Simmons or John, or John had more national recognition. But, you know, they're beloved in their markets, and who feel the same way about their guys as people here do about Bill. But when it comes to football and basketball, there was nobody who deserved to be in there more than Bill King.
Boy, great to have Hank Greenwald with us. Boy, nice to have you here, Hank, and it's always a pleasure to have you at the park and to just sit and talk with you. Is there a favorite part of the book for you? And there's the basketball story with Ed Rush. There's the holy roller play. There's the Giambi walk-off. There's so many descriptions of Bill's voice. That's what I like about the book. It's like he's talking to me again. But did you have any favorite stories from the book?
Well, you know, what really got to me were the number of guys, ball players, who have said, he exposed me to other things in life. And that's, you know, something that lasts. You know, it lasts in their lives, and it makes them better people. And that's what Bill did. He made people better.
Boy, I agree with it. It's so nice. So let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about baseball. The Giants win in 2012. They don't win in 2013. What happened?
Well, I'm no expert, but I just sort of feel that the strength of the team had been their pitching. And I think that although their pitching is still strong in many respects, they dropped off in depth enough, even as starters went, and even the bullpen, enough that whereas in the past they were capable of winning games when they scored only one or two runs, this year they were not. They just couldn't win on days that they were held to a couple of runs where they could in the past. So, if you drop off just that much, that makes a big difference. Everybody has injuries, and you can't use that as excuses, really, although it has an effect. But everybody goes through that stuff. But the strength of the Giants has always been their pitching.
Yeah, and I was looking it up today. I think starters' wins They're right there with Colorado, the Phillies, and the Mets, and everyone else is ahead of them. So that's about where they are. Hank, I know you follow the game of baseball. Do you have sort of a favorite in this National League to win the pennant, as I like to say? It sounds like a good playoff to me.
Well, I think the playoffs are going to be very good. I don't have favorites. You know, you root for people you know in a way. You like to see them do well. Of course, Dusty Baker has been a longtime favorite of mine and many people here in San Francisco. I also look at things a little bit differently with respect to the Dodgers because Don Mattingly and I were together when I was with the Yankees for those 2 years broadcasting there, and I've known Don since those days when he was a player, and I'm pleased to see him do well. So I kind of root for individuals, maybe a little bit more than teams per se, in that respect. But to me, I credit teams. What's meaningful to me is when you win a division, because you've won it over 162 games, and that's no fluke. When it comes to the playoffs or World Series or what have you, one bad break here or there, or your ace starter loses a game early, it throws everything out of kilter. So there's a lot of luck involved when it comes to the playoffs. The best teams don't always win, and a break here and there can make the difference. But over 162 games, I salute those teams that finish first.
Yeah, I like to see good pitching, strong pitching. You know, you look at the World Series champions, whether it's a Jack Morris or a Bob Gibson, of course, just someone who steps up in that little 19-game playoff. You got to win 11 games. I like to see two hard throwers.
Yeah. Well, pitching is what it comes down to. I mean, you don't get a lot of slugfests in World Series games. It's teams with the best two or three starters and the strongest bullpens are the ones that generally win.
Now, one last thought for you, and you and I haven't touched on this since you're back. Replay is coming. It gets accentuated in the playoffs because when they miss a call. What's your take on replay?
Well, it's like anything else with baseball. Better late than never. You know, I mean, it took them long enough to realize that you know, getting it right is what it should be all about, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, you know, they argue maybe the pace of the game or placing runners where they should be, that's against the grain of baseball. Do you buy into that at all?
My feeling is get it right.
All right. Very good. And you do get it right, and that's why I'm glad to have you. I'm glad to have you talk about Bill. Bill was one of your dear friends, and I know you missed him when he was gone. A favorite moment of you and Bill King professionally, do you have one?
Well, I used to just cherish the nights that we could go out to dinner together and maybe get away from the arena, so to speak. And really, you know, talk about other things. And you just, those are the things you remember. I mean, it's easy to talk about working with the guy and all of that and being at games with him, but it's more than that. And it's those moments that I miss when we would get together, either the two of us on the road somewhere or with our wives. That's what you miss the most.
Yeah, the book brings it out. Hank, thanks so much for being out here. Will we see you this weekend?
I probably am not going to make it this weekend, but I certainly will look forward, like most Giant fans, to next year.
All right, we'll get them next year. Hank, thanks so much.
Okay, Mark.
All right, what a wonderful time to have Hank Greenwald down. Always a pleasure. The book is Holy Toledo, Lessons from Bill King, the Renaissance Man of the Mic.